Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Tonight we're talking about wokeness and cancel culture. I thought, where did they ever get their terms? Wokeness and cancel culture. Leviticus chapter 18. And Brother Corey, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this music that we can sing to you, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just praise you. Yes. We just ask that you bless each one now as we listen to your word expounded here. Mm-hmm. We just ask that you bring a blessing to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Leviticus 18 in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye what? Not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye what? Not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So why should we keep God's statutes and judgments? Why should we not do as the world has done in the past? Why should we not do as the world is trying to do? Because Jesus is the Lord. He is the Lord God. We read in the news today that cancel culture and wokeness is responsible for the tearing down of the Civil War monuments. It's strange, isn't it? Because they not only tear down the monuments about the Southern generals and so on, but they've even attacked some of the Abraham Lincoln monuments, which was the one that freed them. It makes no sense what they're doing. These people, they call themselves social justice warriors, is what they call themselves, that are doing all this. And so we're in the middle of now what's being called wokeness and cancel culture. And it depends on where you get your news, how much you'll read about this, because some news organizations are reporting much. I've read things on Fox News, MSN, CNN. Some of the news organizations are acknowledging that there's such a thing as wokeness or cancel culture, and some of the others are just saying it doesn't exist. Here's one from FoxNews.com. The title of the article was, American Cities Are Victims of Progressive Wokeness, and People Are Waking Up, and it was by Joel Borelli. It said, New York City Councilman Joe Borelli sounded off on violent crime taking hold of liberal-led cities on America Reports yesterday, after a string of brazen attacks in broad daylight. I don't know if you've been reading about these in a variety of cities, but people now are just being attacked in broad daylight and being beat up, sometimes killed. Joe Borelli goes on to say, no matter what word Jen Psaki tries to come up with to serve, you know when you cut the funding for the Parks Department, the grass is going to grow higher on the softball fields. That's the same thing with defunding the police. When you have less police out there investigating cases on patrol, you're going to have more crime. The truth is, America has become victims of the progressive brokenness that have tried to convince us that police and not criminals are the cause of violence in our communities. And thankfully, it seems like New Yorkers and people around the country are starting to wake up to it. Then CNN, I read an article on there, and I quote, this is the title of it. Well, no, I guess this wasn't the title. This was actually the part of the article. It says, cancel culture, as it's understood today, isn't real. Not only do people and things allegedly canceled by this imaginary movement, the whole concept is a smokescreen to distract from actual systemic forces of suppression. So CNN said it's just a figment of your imagination of what's happening all around. So what is wokeness? Well, here's an article, Time for Truth blog. It says, the title is The Woke Culture, Its Origins and Agendas. And I quote from the article. It says, in the years leading up to 2021, the national conversation in the United States was dominated by issues related to what has become known as wokeness or woke culture. The word woke was added to the dictionaries in 2017. It is slang for awake. In its contemporary use, woke means social awareness, being alert to social issues like racism, discrimination, and injustice. I continue to quote. Some of the goals of the woke culture are, number one, dissolve the family. Number two, abolish capitalism. Number three, eliminate religion. Number four, rewrite our Constitution. And number five, raise children gender neutral. I continue to quote. He says, they claim they believe in free speech, but will only allow speech that is approved by them. Now, for those of you who have been on Facebook and have been kicked off, or have had something on YouTube and it was kicked off, or something on Twitter and it was kicked off, you have personally experienced the woke culture. They're all about free speech unless your free speech disagrees with their agenda. So that's cancel culture. You've been canceled. Well, what's really happening? Well, let's go to Amos chapter 8. The Bible tells us what's really going on. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 8. What is taking place? Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send what? A famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of what? Hearing the words of the Lord. Now, we know in the tribulation time, there are going to come famines, but this prophecy is not about the food, shortage of food or water, but above hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and what? Shall not find it. What happened in the Dark Ages in Europe? Bibles being burnt, Christians being persecuted. Brother John talked about persecution of Christians right now in our day in certain countries. Well, you may have wondered, you know, I was thinking which one of our missionaries, I can't think offhand which one, but they gave a Bible to a young man, and I think he said it brought tears to the young man's eyes. Being able to finally have a Bible of his own. In America, we have stacks of Bibles in our homes. At Christmas time, when we read the Christmas story, I go to my study and bring out just a stack of Bibles that some of them were just given to me, and some of them are old ones of mine that maybe some pages are loose in them now. But we take the Word of God so much for granted, don't we? We do. But there's coming a day when there's going to be a famine for the Word of God. And people are going to search for it. They're going to run to and fro to seek the Word of the Lord and not find it. So this cancel culture, the bottom line of this cancel culture is they're trying to once again get rid of the Word of God and all who dare to speak it. You know, many in Europe died at the stake, burning at the stake over the Word of God. So what is cancel culture hitting hard right now? The gender thing. Did you know you mothers are no longer mothers or misses? You are birthing persons now. That's what you are. That's your gender. You're a birthing person. Isn't that foolish? It's absolutely foolish. Notice in Genesis chapter 1. Who is that aimed at? This whole issue, and you talk about feeling the pressure from this whole cancel culture wokeness. I was in Myers a few weeks ago, and I have never seen anything in there catering to the LGBT and the rest of the alphabet. But you know what? I saw an end cap that was all dedicated to all that stuff. I could hardly believe it. And then, about a week later, I was in there, and over the intercom, they were talking, and I just caught the woman on the intercom saying something about LGBT. I mean, even Meyer is caving to the woke culture, the political correctness of it all. Genesis 1:27. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And then what does it say? Male and female created he them. Do you want to know what this whole gender neutrality is aimed at? God. God is the one who created male and female. It was his choice. It's not our choice. It's not the choice of parents. You know, when Sandy and I were married, and actually I guess it was a little before there, I had an uncle that they had a baby, he and my aunt, and he was, the real baby was my uncle. They had a girl, and he wanted a boy, and he acted like a baby over it all. I didn't even know if he went to the hospital. I mean, it was really pathetic. The true baby was him. They should have put a pacifier in his mouth and stuffed him in one of those glass cradles in the hospital is what they should have done. You know, I could never understand that. I was just always thankful for a healthy baby. We didn't have any of the things that told us what gender we were having beforehand. I like the Lord's surprises, so it was a surprise each time. And in fact, some of this is kind of backfiring, you know. Now they've got to have these big splash gender-revealing parties. And it wasn't that long ago I heard about the daddy of the baby yet to be born was killed in his gender-revealing party and some prank they had all figured out, you know, to reveal whether it was pink or blue, and I don't know what exploded, but he died. And it's kind of ridiculous, all that's going on. But this whole gender neutrality thing, you probably read about the issue in Texas. There's a physician, the mom is a physician, and the dad, I don't know what he is, but she decided that whatever gender they had, she wanted to make the child the other gender. And it was a battle back and forth in court. The last I heard, they were giving the physician mother the go-ahead to try to change the gender of the child, which they will not do. All they will do is ruin the child. The child's life is what they will do. So cancel culture is not new. It's another trickery of Satan trying to cancel the Word of God. Is what he's doing. So notice in Leviticus 18 there, Leviticus 18. So he told him in Leviticus 18, verse 3, Leviticus 18, 3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. So your past life where you were in Egypt, don't do like those idolaters did. And after the doings of the land in Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. And isn't that really like the Christian life? You know, we are not to do the sins that the world has done in the past, and whatever they come up with in the future, we're not to do that. We are to do God's ordinances, verse 3. If you drop down to verse 22, Leviticus 18, 22. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? Abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I, what? Cast out before you. You know, the world looks at certain cultures and certain groups of people that were pushed out of their land. And they're saying, well, that's not right. You know, they're forgetting one little thing that's actually the biggest thing, and that's God. The land is God's. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. So they're forgetting that it's God's in control of all that. And we see right here, these nations were defiled in all these sodomite things and bestiality. And so God says, who cast them out? Verse 24, I. So it was God that cast them out. Now people say about the Indians, you know, now they're talking about reparations for people whose ancestors were in slavery, you know, paying them off. What good is that going to do? What about the Indians? Why did God allow the Indians to be pushed out of this land? Well, number one, they weren't friendly to any visitors coming into this land. That was one thing. But if you study the Indian culture, it's spiritism and demonism. What kind of doctors did they have? Witch doctors. So you have people like David Brainerd and others who came here, missionaries, trying to reach the Indians with the gospel. They weren't here to devour the Indians. They wanted to get the gospel to them. But God allowed many of the Indians to be pushed out or die, to perish. Why? Well, because they would not accept God's truth when they heard it. They were after their witch doctors, the drums, you know, the Indian drums, the African drums. If you study rock and roll, you go right back to there. You can find proof of drums back to the Babylonians. But it's interesting in the Bible, the drum existed throughout the years that the Old Testament was written. Drums existed. God's people never used drums. You know, you have the military, you know, you have a military drummers now. What did God use for his military? Trumpets to call them, not drums. So, you know, there's a lot of people that argue about drums. And, you know, Brother Cloud has some excellent articles about rock and roll drummers and what they tell you they've experienced in their drumming. And so we don't have any of those at all. It's very conspicuously absent in the scripture, the drum. So we're to keep God's ordinances. So verse 25, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself, what? Vomiteth out her inhabitants. You know what? If we continue on this way, You know what the biggest polluter of America is? It's not exhaust from cars or airplanes. It's disobedience to the word of God. It's these abominations. God says, a people that does this, the land itself will vomit out her inhabitants. Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is what? Defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. So this whole cancel culture does not like these words. And so we're headed in a direction where any words against gender neutrality, any words against sodomy, they're all trying to be canceled out. They don't want to hear it. So, you know, this whole wokeness and cancel culture is not very far from us, if we're honest. It's everywhere around us. We ourselves as Christians, we can get into a situation where we are silent on sin. Right now in the workplace, you dare just, if someone else brings up their sodomite or bestiality or any gender neutrality, if they bring up something and you just state what the Bible says, in many businesses, you will be in danger of being fired. Right here in America. They will say that you are harassing the other worker. Even though the other worker was saying forth about their sin, and you simply say what the Word of God says. So we are being silenced as Christians. Number one, for fear of losing our jobs. Fear of losing their Facebook page, their Twitter account, their YouTube channel. They're afraid, and so they're so careful not to say anything about these issues. You know what? All those Christians have been woked. They've been cancel cultured, and they wouldn't stand up for the truth. Christians are also woking other Christians. Christians are also canceling other Christians. In what way? I find it today just over the matter of repentance. There's this movement right now that does not want to talk to lost sinners about their need to repent of their sin. We're being woked. A couple of weeks ago, well, it's probably been a few weeks ago now, but a pastor called in. I wasn't here. He left a message, and he said, I really like your gospel tracts and have used your gospel tracts, but he said, there's one thing I want to talk to you about, and that's that at the end of the track where you talk about repentance. And he said, that's teaching people a work salvation. And so I called him back, didn't get him, just got his answering machine. So I left him a string of scriptures until the answering machine cut me off. Well, one of the scriptures was in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And John chapter 4, and let's start in verse 13. John 4:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So people would say, well, she wanted to get saved. What did Jesus say? Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, what? Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, what? I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is what? Not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. People would say, oh, Jesus, you just messed it up. She wanted to get saved, and you just had to bring up the fact of the matter that she was just living with a man, and she wasn't married to him. Well, you know what? She walked away. And you know what? The average person today would say, the average soul winner today would say, boy, did Jesus mess that up. I mean, he had her right there. All he had to do was draw the net, and he messed it up by bringing up her sin. Notice with me in Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. We've been woke. We've been had by the cancel culture. Luke 13, verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you nay, but except ye what? Repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. People have said to me, well, the only thing a lost sinner has to do is repent of his unbelief. Any other talk about repentance is out of place until they get saved. And that's when you talk them and teach them about repentance of sins. Look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. And if thy what? Thy hand. If thy hand offend thee, what? Cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into where? Hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Could you please tell me what my hand has to do with belief or unbelief? That's what my heart does. What can my hand do? The Bible says here it'd be better to cut my hand off if it's going to lead me astray. It's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. What does my hand have to do with belief or unbelief? Read on. Verse 45, and if thy what? Foot. If thy foot offend thee, what? Cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into where? Into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Tell me, what does my foot have to do with belief or unbelief? What my foot has to do with where it takes me. Does it take me to sin or does it take me to the Savior? Verse 47, and if thine what? Eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into where? Hellfire. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What does my eye have to do with belief or unbelief? That's a decision of my heart. My hand has nothing to do with belief or unbelief. My foot doesn't. My eye doesn't. But what my hands do, what do they do? The right things or sinful things? Where do my feet take me? To the right places or the wrong places? What do my eyes look at? The right things or the wrong things? Repentance. True faith is not just words. True faith is always backed up by our works. We're not saved by our works, but true faith shows itself by my works. In the same way, true repentance is not just a change of mind. That might be Strong's definition, but James Strong was not God. And true repentance, we see the definition in action with Jesus and the woman at the well. There's a lot of things that we do today and that there's just no scriptural basis for it. True repentance Mark 9 teaches it, a change of life. Yesterday, so this pastor anyway, that I gave him all these scriptures about repentance, we don't believe that you go to heaven by your works. And preaching and teaching repentance in no way is teaching someone they get to heaven by being good. That is not the case at all. We're just experiencing the woke culture. Because the problem is this. When you deal with someone about their sin, oftentimes they are going to be like the woman at the well. They are going to walk away. They're going to be like Nicodemus. They are going to walk away. The last words he said to Jesus was, "How can these things be?" And he walked away. But you know what? Both the woman at the well and Nicodemus did get saved. They did get saved in the end. But maybe it's just not on our timetable. So anyway, that pastor listened to my long message and he called back and he said, "Brother Austin, we're in complete agreement." He totally changed. He says, "We're in complete agreement on this matter." And then I got a call yesterday from a pastor. He said he's 74, 75 years old, I forget which. And he's kind of retired, but not retired. They're going into nursing homes like we are. And this was an early afternoon when he called, and he got a full track sample pack from us. And he said this, he says, "I have been reading your gospel tracts all morning long." And he said, "This is just so wonderful." And he actually broke down in tears on the phone. Why? Because of woke culture. Because of cancel culture. Do you realize how few ministries even dare to print the truth anymore? Because of this cancel culture, this wokeness. He was reading the one on, I can picture the cover, but it's the pandemic flu virus, such and such. That was the one he was just reading before he called. The one about tattooing. I think that was where he just kind of broke down. The body piercing. And he said, you know, the world is just going after all these things. And where are they hearing the truth? They're not. They're not hearing it by the soul winners out there. It's just, don't worry about that. We'll deal with that later. When? You know, people, when it comes down to it, people are the most tender-hearted to be willing to forsake their sin when they're humbled enough to receive Christ as Savior. And if at that point they would get offended at bringing up some matter of sin, the fact of the matter is, then they're like the rich young man who walked away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to repent. So, this pastor was just so appreciative and bringing him to tears that someone would actually be willing to override this whole wokeness and cancel culture and be willing to say the truth. We've fallen into this trap. We have allowed the world to silence us. So the fact of the matter is that if we are going around in that frame of mind, we are part of the wokeness. We are part of the cancel culture because we are not willing to say the truth in love. Look with me in Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Mark 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be what? Ashamed of who? Of me. So that's Jesus. And of what? My words. So, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in what? This adulterous and sinful generation. So in other words, whoever is ashamed of Jesus and his word, the Bible, in hard times. Brother John was just talking to us about persecution. So if we are ashamed of Jesus' name or of the Bible and what it teaches in this adulterous and sinful generation, in this hard time, in this wokeness, in this cancel culture, and if we're willing to be silent, knowing what the Bible says, but we are silent for fear that they are going to cancel us, mock us, cause us to lose our jobs. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall who? The Son of Man be what? Ashamed. When he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I mean, we're lamenting this whole wokeness and cancel culture and what's happening all around. But a question for us to ask ourselves is, are we part of it? Are we not speaking up? Then we are part of it. Notice in Matthew 5:19. I mean, it's like this. You know, we've talked often about telling people the Lord bless you or God bless you, because if you say that, that's probably the only way people are going to hear God's name used right in a good sense the whole day or the whole week. Well, the fact of the matter is then, so if some of these issues get brought up and we fail to speak the truth in love about what the Bible says, then how are these people going to hear it? They're probably not. So we're part of the wokeness. We're part of the cancel culture. We're part of the coming famine of the Word of God because we won't speak it now. We won't say it. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called what? The least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called what? Great in the kingdom of heaven. So backing up, whosoever therefore shall break one of these what? Least commandments. You know what, if God said something in his word, isn't it important? Yes. Yes, it is. And you know, our attitudes are a big part of this. You know, it's not being arrogant. But if people are going to hear the truth, if we know it and we won't in love tell them the truth, who will? Probably no one. Why are there churches today that approve of sodomy? There's a church right in Lowell on the north end that has the rainbow flags flying out in front of it. Does that give you any indication of where they stand on this whole thing? Yeah, it does. So the famine for the Word of God is coming. So wokeness, cancel culture. The bottom line is, this is what they want to cancel. And are we part of it, allowing it to come, or will we take a stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please forgive us where conversations come up and we're afraid. We're afraid that if we tell the people the truth, that they'll go away, that they won't get saved, or that they'll get us in trouble of some sort. Lord, please forgive us. Help us not to be ashamed of you or of your word. Lord, please help us to have the right spirit about us. When they heard Jesus speak, the Bible talks about his gracious words. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Lord, help us to speak the truth in love, to speak it humbly. But Lord, please help us to speak it. Father, it seems like the Holy Spirit, when there's a problem, the Holy Spirit often does bring up that conversation when we're trying to witness to people. Father, please help us to realize that that is the Holy Spirit wanting to bring forth repentance in that person's life. And help us not to gloss over that, but help us to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit to lovingly show those people that that is sin and that God will cleanse them from it if they'll turn to you. Lord, please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're praying for revival. Let's turn to 170. I was told not too many years ago there was a great revival taking place down south in a state, and so I got online and looked at some of the video from it, and I could quickly see that wasn't a biblical revival. It was a more like a Christian rock fest. It was a lot of emotion, but that's not the revival.